Say to yourself, say, Jesus Christ has set me free. I refuse to live in bondage of any kind. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something. When the word of God, you see, the only time you need to be afraid is when God is not speaking. Yeah? Are you with me? When God is not speaking, you have every right to be concerned. But when the word of God goes forth, yeah, there's opportunity for deliverance. Hallelujah. He said, because he said, when you know that truth, what does it do? It will deliver you. So you can say, I'm delivered. The moment the truth can come in, and you understand it, and you practice it, you will have deliverance. Hallelujah. And so every time you have the opportunity to listen to the word of God, it's an opportunity to be delivered. Say to yourself, say, I will be delivered today. Hallelujah. Let's first digress. Go to Lamentations chapter 3. The title of the sermon today is Faithful and True. This topic means a lot to me. And I will show you why. Lamentations chapter 3. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22 and 23. As usual, I let people read. That's what I like to have an interactive service. I believe that way I can engage you better. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22 to 23.
It reads, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness."
Amen.
Amen.
You get that? Hello? He said, it is of the Lord's mercy that we are not what?
Consumed.
That means that without, there's a story in the Bible of a rich man, yeah, the husband of, was Abigail. You know, David married Abigail. Yeah. You know, David had many wives. Oh, that was in the old time. Hallelujah. Don't go around marrying many wives now. Too much trouble. Okay. Hallelujah. One wife is enough for a lifetime. Do you understand? And one husband. Amen. For those who are married, may you live long for each other. Nothing will break your marriage. And where marriages are broken, let there be healing. In the name of Jesus. This man was rich, but he refused to be generous. Yeah? And then they served him his food. And as he was eating that food and enjoying it, the food went into the wrong place and choked him. And he died. There was no bullet, no arrow. It was just his food. Are you with me? That's how easy it is to die. Life is a miracle. Are you with me? And it's because of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Don't forget it. I have a theory that one of the reasons why people get depressed, yeah, it starts with ingratitude. I will explain. Because when you get dissatisfied with who you are or what you have, that's the pathway toward depression. Hallelujah. You know you can break the back of depression. Yeah? Being thankful. And let me tell you something. I know a lot of people here are grateful. But until you vocalize your gratefulness or your gratitude, you are not thankful. Thankfulness is the vocalization of gratefulness. It is not enough to be grateful. You have to express it. Hello? Sorry, let me ask you a question. I think I've answered it. It is because of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. So when you think about God's mercies, what should be your natural response? When you just think about something that happened in your life that you know that you would have been consumed. Consumed means it could be like you could have lost your job or you could have, you know, something bad will have happened or something. And you know that just mercy saw you through. When you think about God's mercies, what should be your natural response? Yes, I have the mic. So, yes. When you think about the mercy of God, over your life. What should be your natural response?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise. That's praise. Yeah? Yes? Any other answer? When you think about God's mercy, what should be your natural response?
Thankfulness.
Thankfulness. Hallelujah. There's no other response. When you just think about it, there's no mercy. You know? It's then you got to be you must give praise and thanks. And I tell you something. If you practice continually on a daily basis a lifestyle of praise and thanksgiving, you will break the back of depression. Hallelujah. You what? You will break it. Let's go to Psalm 100. Psalm 100. Psalm 100. You know, some people, they say, oh, I'm feeling low. And then they turn to alcohol. Yeah? Then the alcohol make them high. And then it will knock them low at the end of the day. Yeah? It will lift them high a little. You know, like, you know, if you want to break a stone. Anybody ever played with a stone? You know, when you're young. Take a stone, you want to break it. What do you do? You want to break a stone. What do you do? So let's find an answer. Let's try a new command. You have a stone, a big stone, and you want to break it into little pieces. So what do you do? You what?
You smash it.
Okay, just please describe to me exactly the process of smashing. Go, come on, show. Come. Come on. Now assume this is a stone. It costs like £30. Okay, so it's okay. And you want to smash this stone. What do you do? Look at him.
Well, he can get a great hammer.
No implement. Just that in your hand. How do you smash it? You first go up, then you go down. Thank you. Go and sit down. That's how alcohol smashes people. It will take you up, then it will. Then when you are foolish, you go back again. It will take you up. Then, alcohol cannot deliver you from depression. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The Lord is good. And all the time. Psalm 100. We're talking about how to respond to the mercy and the faithfulness of God. There's only one response. Let's read Psalm 100 together as a church. Psalm 100, let's read it. Read it from your version. It doesn't matter. Let's just make that joyful noise to God. You ready?
Wait.
Okay, let's go. Hallelujah. The Bible says that God lives. You know where God, I know God's address. Do you know? You know God's address. I know he's in heaven. Yes? Heaven is not God's address. I can show you from the Bible. Heaven is God's throne. The Bible says heaven is your throne. And the heart is where? So, where is God's leg? Hello, are you with me? God cannot be contained. Yeah, God is beyond time and space. He cannot be constrained by time. He cannot be constrained by space. God is everywhere. Hallelujah. But God's throne is where? Heaven. For now, in the new world, God's throne will come down. You know why God has to come down? Tell me one reason that we make God come down. Anybody? What reason can make God leave his throne and come down? Yes?
When you worship and you praise.
Yes, but I'm looking for... You didn't get my question, so... What reason? I mean, that's right, but... What can attract God down?
His love.
His love, yes. All those questions, answers are right. It's just that they're not hitting what I want. Yeah. What reason can make God leave his throne? I gave you the clue already. I said later, God will leave his throne and bring his throne down. If we bring his throne down, why would God ever bring his throne from heaven down to earth?
It's coming down to our level to save us.
Yeah, he's coming for his people. Let me tell you something. The eternal desire of God is to live with his people. Do you understand? God has a need. That's why it was this need that made God create the whole heavens and earth. Because God doesn't want to dwell alone. He wants to live with his people. Those who have voluntarily decided to have him as their Lord. It's not everybody is God's people. For you to be God's people, you have to voluntarily choose him. Hallelujah. So that's why he made the whole world. So it's like you're playing a game. Put them all there, but people have to make a choice. Now, when people voluntarily choose God, they become what? His people. Hallelujah. And ultimately, God will come down to live with his people forever. That is the end plan. Hallelujah. God has a plan. Hallelujah. Before he ever created the world, that was his plan. That's why Jesus came down, to reconcile God's creation to God, so that he can have his people. When you voluntarily make Jesus the Lord of your life, you become what? God's people. Say to yourself, I know we're going to destroy English now. Say to yourself, say, I am his people. Hallelujah. And he's my God. Are you with me? I am what? His people. And he is who? My God. Look at it. In verse 3. No, let me show you a connection. I didn't see that connection. I meditated on it. Psalm 100 verse 2. I'll show you this connection. Psalm 100 verse 2 says what? King James? Psalm 100 verse 2. Who has King James? First line. Yes, let's have Mira. Encourage her. Where is Agnes? Okay. That's okay. She can help her once
in a while. Serve the Lord with gladness.
Serve what?
The Lord.
How? With gladness. Have you ever had the unhappy experience? Any married man here? Yeah. Have you ever had the unhappy experience being served food with grumpiness? Yeah. For me, I lose my appetite. But you know the worst thing about it? I can still manage if I'm in the restaurant, yeah? I may not go back there, but I will manage that food that day. But if it's at home, I lose my appetite completely. I eat it 2 hours later. Hallelujah. I'm a man, yeah? God wants you to serve him with what? With gladness. That is the way to serve God. With gladness. When I'm coming to church on Sunday, I'm coming what? With what? With gladness. Sometimes I come here and, I set up. I mean, in the past, I've had people helping me, and I know that in the future, there's coming a time that there will be a whole team. Yeah? But I came up this morning with my sons, and we're setting up. And as I was doing all that work and rushing, I just looked and said, Lord, if it were my son's party, I would do this free. I said, Lord, I'm happy. I'm happy to do this. Hallelujah. You serve the Lord with what? With gladness. When you're going to church, the people around you should feel the vibe that you're happy. Hallelujah. Yeah, your neighbors should know that they may not go to church, but they know that you are enjoying your church. If they don't know that, it's a problem. Are you with me? He said, how do we serve God? With gladness. Now, let me show you how you can serve God with gladness. Go to verse 3. If you want to really serve God with gladness, you have to be well grounded in verse 3. And that's the key to serving God with gladness. You have to be well grounded in verse 3. It says, no. Say to your neighbor, say no. Understand. Recognize. Acknowledge. Now what? That the Lord is God. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. Christians, they say, let me tell you something. If all Christians walk in perfect revelation, there will be no bondage and there will be no need for any deliverance. Let me tell you something. The devil is helpless when you are walking in the light. He has nothing on you. Jesus said, he said, the prince of this world has come and he has nothing in me. Nothing. If you are walking in perfect revelation, there will be no bondage. So, bondage is the evidence that there is darkness. Do you understand? In some part. Now, when I say there is darkness, I don't mean you as a Christian, you are in total darkness. No. You are a child of light. But there can be darkness in some part. You know what causes darkness? When in the presence of light. Do you know what causes it? There's something shielding that light, isn't it? Yeah? You can be in the presence of light, but there's darkness somewhere because something is what? Shielding it. And it happens in our Christian lives. You see, many times we walk away with the impression that you are the God. Say, it's my life. I have the right to make my decisions. Are you understanding? You check yourself. You check your age. Say, I'm older than that person and that person. You know? They need to accord me some general level of... It doesn't matter if your boss at work is younger than you, eh? But when it comes to, you know, and then because you, when you think like that, you have stopped knowing that the Lord is God. You are putting some over importance to yourself. Are you with me? Sometimes you may look at your money, sir. You know, I ain't good money. You know, and you just feel that you are better than every other person around you. You have stopped knowing that word. The Lord is God. Are you with me? You may look at your profession. Maybe you're in church. You have a very good profession. I don't want to be specific. I don't want anybody to tear me apart. And then you look at another person and say, well, maybe they don't even have a job. And you think you are better. Because you spent many years training. You can speak better English. Are you with me? At that moment, you have stopped knowing that the Lord is God. Because you know what? No matter how much you achieve, you are still a child of God. You know what? He's the Ancient of Days. Hallelujah. You may think about your achievement. You don't know what your achievement is. You know? It's like maybe a young man and you bought a new car. And that's good. I want all the young men to buy new cars. But when you buy your new car, come to church and help in organizing. You understand? You know, and you bought a new car. You know, maybe you bought a 4Runner new car. You fix some very loud speakers. You know? I'm talking of America. You know the American people? When they are moving, the car will be shaking. Even when you hear it on TV, DVD, it will be shaking. And you feel that, yeah, you have arrived. You put a lug beach chain around your neck. You tie some very heavy boots and you feel like God. Yeah? You have stopped knowing that the Lord is God. Are you with me? When you stop knowing that the Lord is God, you will not be thankful. Hallelujah. You will not be thankful. You'll be looking inward. Yeah? And your discontentment will be increasing. You will have the things you wanted, but you will never stop wanting. Hallelujah. You know why? When the Lord starts being God, idolatry takes over. Where idolatry just simply divine, as focusing on any other thing, yeah, with a greater importance than God. Everything's are important. Every other thing is important, including money. Money is important. Don't ever have the impression that money is not important. Without money, we can't even be in this church. Money today is the value of everything we do. Everything that is of economic value is monetized. You understand? I can change your hairstyle tomorrow. I don't know how to make any hair. I have never tried it in my life. But I can change your hairstyle. With a phone call. If I have money. Are you with me? Yeah? Know that the Lord is God. When you know that the Lord is God, it keeps you humble. And it keeps you thankful. Let me just emphasize that point again, because I'm going to move away now from Psalm 100. I want to take you to Revelation 19. We're on the journey. But remember this, that you are not truly grateful until you are thankful. Where grateful is a state of the heart. Thankful is the expression. Are you with me? Apply it in your marriage, it will change. Yeah? Hello? Apply it at work, it will change things. Express. Don't say, the Lord knows that I'm grateful. Of course, he knows everything. He knows that Satan is going to hell. Do you know that? Yeah? He knows. It's not enough. You have to open your mouth and confess it. Hello? I was going to do this later, but let me give you this. English. What is the opposite of confession? Hey, oh, come on. You should wait for your turn. Yes, any answers? Just assume that you didn't hear her. What is the opposite of confession? What? Yes. Lying. Yes, let's try again. It's a good answer. Yes, the opposite of confession is what? Is what?
Denial.
Is what? Denial. Let's stop there because of time. I have a lot to say and I want to finish at 12:30. What you don't confess, you are technically denying. Are you with me? Hello? Listen to this. Listen. You have something in your heart, but you refuse to say it. Yeah? I don't know why. Whether you are shy or you are feeling whatever. What you don't confess, you are technically what? Denying. Are you with me? This was supposed to come later, but let me hit it now. Someone help me. What is the first step to overcoming any addiction? Any. Including depression. So wait. I'm going to ask Brother Daly. The first step to overcome any addiction, including depression,
yes? Is to recognize that there is a problem. Acknowledge.
Hello. You know why I put it at him? I was there. I saw it live. He doesn't remember, but I saw it. The first step, yeah, to overcoming any addiction or depression is to admit and stop deceiving yourself. Are you with me? Then you're on your way. Let's go to 1 John 1:9. Sorry, I digressed, but that's the only way the Holy Spirit wants to do it. 1 John 1:9. We're talking about faithful and true. 1 John 1:9. Please, if you are there, just read. 1 John 1:9. I give you the mic. Put up your hand and I know. Okay. 1 John 1:9.
If we confess our sins.
Sorry?
If we confess.
You know what? Start from verse 8. 1 John 1:8. And 9. Please take it easy. Then. Okay.
If we say that we have no sin.
If we what?
Say that we have no sin.
Any other version, what do they say? If we claim, another one. I'm looking for one that will say if we refuse to admit. Anyone like that? That is what is amplified. It defines it. If we say we have no sin, what does saying we have no sin means? We refuse to admit. That's how we say. We what? We refuse to what? Admit. If technically speaking, that means what? Please read it. What does that mean when you refuse to admit? What does it mean?
We deceive.
It means what? It means what?
Ourselves.
We are what? We are deceiving ourselves. And that's the worst thing you can do to yourself. In fact, it's a source of a lot of bondage. When you deceive yourself, you're in bondage already. Are you with me? If you refuse to admit, you're what? In bondage. Can I help you? That's why. Even people in the church, they have to get them to admit. If you don't admit, you remain there until you what? You admit that Jesus is Lord. I'm just joking, okay? We have to admit. Hallelujah. Amen. We must not live in denial. Denial reinforces bondage. Are you with me? Denial what? Reinforces bondage. Are you with me? But when we admit, we are on the pathway to breakthrough in any part of our life. Amen? Please complete it.
And the truth is not enough.
And what?
The truth is
you may wonder,
enough.
Why did I go there? We're talking about true. The truth is not. Who was John writing to? Who was John writing to? Do you know? Please, someone have anybody have a letter with the header there? The beginning of John. Who was he writing to? John? Who was he writing to? Yes? Someone, anybody with the Bible that says, you know, the letter of John 2. So what John writing to? Anybody help me? Of course, the answer is obvious. He's writing to the church. He was not writing to unbelievers. He was not writing to non-Christians. He was writing to people who go to church every Sunday. Yeah? And he's putting it to them that if you refuse to admit, the truth is not in you. Despite the fact that you are born again. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, remember what I told you? I said denial is, if you are in denial, it's a guarantee for your, denial is the guarantee for bondage. It guarantees it that it will continue. You know why? Because the Bible says you shall know the truth. And the truth is what? So if you are in denial, the truth is not where? In you. You with me? Verse 9. Read verse 9.
If we confess our sin.
If we what?
Confess our
please give me that from Amplified again, Sister Nigel. If we what? Freely, voluntarily admit. Yeah? Continue.
He's faithful and just.
He is who?
He's
faithful. You don't know what the Bible is saying there, so let me explain it to you. What it's saying is that anybody who comes to God, he will not cast them away. He has guaranteed it forever. So that means that every time, yeah, no matter your situation, no matter who stole your song or who made it worse, yeah, God is waiting for you to come to him. Do you understand? Come to him in humility, admit where you are, and seek for his help. Hallelujah. Freely is the pathway to deliverance. Amen. God is faithful and just. That means that if you come to God and God refuses you, he's being what? Unjust. Hallelujah. He is faithful and he is just. Well, let's see it this way. He is faithful and true. Later on, I will show you that they mean exactly the same thing. You cannot be faithful without being true. And you cannot be true without being faithful. That is why, let me warn you. Sorry, I have to do this by the Holy Spirit. If your life is full of lies, yeah, you are in trouble. Yeah? Are you listening to me? If you are practicing lying, deceit, and falsehood, you are in trouble. Because you have destroyed the foundation of faith. Faith is based on truth. They are eternally connected. They are the same thing. In fact, in some languages, the same word that describes faithful and truth. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. He is faithful and just to forgive us. So now, let me tell you, let me give my own take. As a Christian, if you don't want the devil to have a stronghold in any part of your life, even if you are struggling with any addiction or bad habit, that's not the biggest problem you have. Hello, listen to that. Your addiction is not the biggest problem you have, whatever it is. It may not be substance. It may be something else. It may be something that nobody even has thought about that is an addiction. Are you with me? Your addiction may even be talking too much. Hello? I said your addiction may be what? Talking too much. But you know how you can break that power? You have to, each time you've noticed that you talk too much, go back to God and say, Father, I have done it again. I admit that what? I have talked too much. I admit that it's wrong and I'm sorry. Hello? You're on the pathway. Because you know what? God will never get tired of you coming to admit. He's faithful and just. Hallelujah. That's the way to break the power of addiction. It's not the last step, but it's the first step. Hallelujah. It's not the last step, but what? It's the first step. And you know what? Let me just break that down because I won't come back today. He said not only will he forgive us, He will do something special. He will not just forgive. You know, God forgave you. You can still go back and say, well, I was forgiven, but, you know, oh, look at all what I've done. You know, I'm not a good person. You know you are forgiven, yeah? You know you can pray to God and commune with God, but you just think about all your history and say, I'm not a good person. But that's not what God does, though. He not only forgives you, He cleanses you from all unrighteousness. You know what that means? It means that no matter what happens, I'm telling you the word. In practice, you will struggle because you're a human being. But according, as far as God is concerned, once you have come to Him and He has forgiven and cleansed you, the next moment, if Satan himself appears, you can bind him and say, go. Because you have been cleansed from all unrighteousness. Of course, you will struggle as a human being. Because your mind will fight with your spirit, yeah? And keep reminding you. Let me tell you something. If your mind keeps reminding you know how to deal with your mind? Open your mouth and tell your mind the word of God. Your mind can hear. Your mind is not you. You are a spirit. Say to yourself, say, I'm a spirit. You are a spirit. That's why you cannot ever die. It's just about where you will go to. You will go to heaven or hell, but you are going to exist forever. I try to explain this to people. You know why you exist forever? You came out of God. You don't know. You're a little part of God. And God cannot die. You can't die. You may shed your flesh, but as a spirit, no spirit can ever die. Hello? Even the devil came out of God. Yeah? The difference is that once you come out, God gives you free will. How does God make that happen? I don't know. Hello? God removes you from himself and then makes you free. Do what you like. But you can't die. It's about where you will live forever. Hallelujah. So when your mind is contradicting your progress, you have to speak to it. Hallelujah. How many times have I walked on the street and I've uttered the word respect unconsciously? I've done this for so many years, I can't count. Because if I'm walking on the street, you may see something that makes you want to have a judgmental attitude or a wrong opinion. I speak to the mind, respect, and I move on. And that's how I deal with it. You speak to your mind. Such as I say, I will speak to my mind. You know why? Because, say it, is mine. Hallelujah. Let's go to Revelation. Go to Revelation, and then I bring you back to some scripture. We have 10 minutes. Revelation chapter 19. I won't stay longer, but I want to just show you. I want to explain to you the character of God. Because if you understand the character of God, you know who you are dealing with. And then you know what you are aspiring to in life. Revelation chapter 19. Yes, someone help me to read. Let's just read verse 11 for time's sake. Where is my mic? Let's just have that. Someone else. Revelation 19, verse 11. Yes? I'll try to go around. Revelation 19, verse 11.
Amen.
Amen.
Revelation 19, verse 11. It says, and I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war.
Amen. I've been trying to emphasize this point for a long time, but today finally I showed you the scripture. You see, when we say God is faithful, we're not just saying it as a verb. So, and that's true. God is faithful as a verb. He is faithful as a verb. That's as something he does. But it's much more. God is not just faithful as what he does. God is faithful as who he is. His name is what? Faithful and true. It's more than what he does. The difference between the two is that you can do something some of the time and not do it other times, yeah? But when it's who you are, that's what you do all the time. God is what? He's faithful and true. Now, you may want to take some notes. Let me tell you something about faithfulness and truth. God's faithfulness reveals to us the integrity of his word. It means that when God speaks, Yeah? He's settled. That's the meaning of faithfulness. Faithfulness has to do with your word. Now, so look at your life too. Your faithfulness is judged by the integrity of your word. Hello? Don't call yourself faithful until you keep your word. Yeah? And if you have cost, of course, if you said the wrong thing, repent of it. Yeah? But if you made a promise, don't keep going about making promises you will not fulfill. You are being unfaithful. Faithfulness deals with the integrity of your word. Let me show you something about God's word. Look, go to Psalm 119, verse 89. There are many scriptures we can open, but let's just look at Psalm 119, verse 89 to understand God's faithfulness as explaining his character. That's who God is. He is faithful. His name is what? Faithful. Psalm 119, verse 89. Someone help me fast. I still have a lot to say. Yes, please. I give you a mic. Please, go again. Go again. You're too fast.
Forever, O Lord.
Forever, O Lord. I want you to get the point. Forever.
Your word stands firm.
It stands firm. King James says, it is what? It is what? I like that one because, you know, I like it. It has a deeper meaning. It is said, there's no argument, there's no controversy. Hallelujah. And you know, the other time I was trying to show you, I won't go there because of time, that although we sing, great is your faithfulness, Lord, to me, and that is technically true, but you need to understand that God's faithfulness is not to you in the primary sense. God is faithful to you in the secondary sense. But 2 Timothy 2:13 makes us understand that if we are unfaithful, God remains faithful. If you look up Amplified, it said, to his word and his righteous character. Because he cannot deny himself. So, God is faithful to you, but that's on a secondary basis. What God is faithful to permanently is his word. Hallelujah. God cannot deny his word and his character. Now, if you want God to be always faithful to you, you have to align yourself continuously with the word of God. God cannot commit himself to the success of a rebel. I don't care how many years you've been a Christian. The day you start to rebel against the word of God is the day you walk out of his blessing. Are you listening to me? God is faithful to his word. He cannot break his word. Hallelujah. Are you with me? So let's just give you some tidbits you may want to write also. Humility is your connection to grace. Now let me explain it. I'll show you scripture. You may have this mindset and say, oh, grace is available to all. And that's true. Grace is available to all. But not everybody's going to heaven. Did you realize that? And yet, grace is what? Available to you. You cannot benefit from grace until you receive it. And you cannot receive grace without humility. Let me prove that to you. James chapter 4. Look at James chapter 4. You need to get this right. Get it so you understand. Humility is your connection to grace. James chapter 4. Are you there? Am I in the wrong place? Yes, James 4. If you found what I'm looking for, just tell me. Tell me the verse. Then I know you found it. Yeah? I'm looking for something. James chapter what? Verse 6. Yes. Who said it first? Okay, you have to read. James chapter 4, verse 6. That's your own blessing. Look at it. What does it say?
And he gives grace generously.
Oh, God gives grace what? Generous. It's free, isn't it? But go on.
As the scriptures say.
What does scripture say?
God opposes the proud.
God what?
But gives grace to the humble.
Ah! I don't know whether you read that before. Let me explain that to you. You see, I would not be really bothered, you know, if somebody is proud and people don't like the person. That's okay. After all, people are not reliable, yeah? People may see a good thing and call it evil. Yeah? Don't be happy because you are popular. They will reach. Have you seen celebrities? The day they go wrong, the same press that lifts them up, we do what? Smash them down so fast. Hallelujah. I don't care. I don't worry about people not being happy with you because you're proud. But the Bible says that God himself resists the proud. You know what it means? It means that when you take on the attitude of pride, yeah? God, it's like a smell that God says, ah. Are you with me? But what does he do? He gives grace to who? The humble. Humility is your connection to grace. If you want to keep enjoying the grace of God in multiple fold, stay humble. If you find yourself in pride, what do? You repent. You admit and you repent. And you back into humility. Hallelujah. Second point I wanted to tell you about is that obedience is your connection to blessing. Are you listening to me? Obedience. Just like humility is your connection to grace, obedience is your connection to blessing. Let me crack a little joke there. I said, if your faith is not working, try obedience. Now, remember, I said a lot in that statement. Write it down if you want to think about it. I said a lot. Quoted a lot of scriptures in that statement. If your faith is not working. Working is a key word there too. Try what? Obedience. Isaiah chapter 1. Look at it quickly. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. So we're rounding up gradually now. Can you see how the word itself is the pathway to freedom? The word is the pathway to deliverance. The truth is what sets free. Hallelujah. Amen. Isaiah 1:18. Before you go there, just please tap your neighbor. Tell them, say, only the truth. Only the truth can set you free. Therefore, refuse to deceive yourself. You listening to me? Because when you are in denial, God himself can't help you until he gets you out of denial. You with me? Isaiah 1:18 and 19. Yes, someone help me there. Isaiah 1, someone who has not read, Staron, okay? We're rounding up, so, you know, keep enjoying. He says, prepares a table before me. Where? In the presence of my. You know that table? It's not grapes and bananas. It's the word. Hallelujah. God, when you receive the word of God in the presence of enemies, they can't understand you. They can't understand. They will calculate, but they can't understand. You will just come out in a new corner. They won't get it. Say, are you doing it? They won't understand. Say, do you understand? Say, I don't understand too. It must be God. Hallelujah. Isaiah 1, 18 and 19.
Come now, let's settle this, says the Lord.
Let's settle this issue once and for all. Yes?
Though your sins are like scarlet, I will make them as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, I will make them as white as
19.
If you will only obey me, if you will have plenty to eat.
Mm-hmm. Well, what will happen in the next one?
But if you turn away and refuse to listen,
yep,
you will be devoured by the sword of your enemies.
Okay.
I, the Lord, have spoken.
Amen. Let's have 19 from King James. Yes, King James. Do you have King James? King James? Isaiah 1, 19 from King James.
If you be willing and obedient.
If you are willing and obedient, what will happen?
You shall eat the
you
good
will
of
eat
the
land. Good of the land.
But if you refuse,
and rebel,
you shall be devoured.
You will be
with
devoured.
The sword.
And when you are being devoured, you will be praying for deliverance. Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? I repeat that statement. God cannot commit himself to the success of a rebel. Are you listening to me? Obedience is your connection to the blessing. And as you walk in obedience, the blessing must work. You don't need to pray it into working. Because it's the word of God, it cannot be broken. Are you listening to me? When God says, if you do this, I will do this. It's a deal. You do it, I do it. Are you listening to me? In fact, when you are obedient, all you need to do to God, when you are obedient, don't start asking God to do what he said he would do. Thank him. Say, Father, I thank you for the privilege to obey you. Now, thank you because that blessing is on the way. Hallelujah. You know why? Because God is faithful and true. Numbers. Go to Numbers. We're rounding up Numbers. I think I will round up on Numbers, or maybe one more. Numbers 23:19. Someone help me read Numbers 23:19. Sanika, have you said anything today? Yes, you are. Yes. I will give both of you different versions. Numbers 23:19.
God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and will he not do? Or has he spoken, and he will he not make it good?
Amen. That's good. Let's have it from the other version.
It's the same version.
Okay, good. Beautiful. Today you are in perfect unity. There's room for some disunity. It's called variety and diversity. But when your whole life is based on pursuing variety and diversity, you end up in trouble. Are you listening to me? There's room for some, but when it's too much, like they said, too much of everything is what? It's not good. He says, so my son asked me, what about prayer? Can you pray too much? Yes, in a way. If you pray too much, imagine I wake up in the morning and I just pray Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, all the clothes are piling, all the dishes are piling. After that, no food, you know. Are you listening to me? No food. Someone will go on strike, yeah? Are you listening to me? Who is the father of lies? Satan. That means that anything they lie, I want to run away from it. Now, I know you are human, and I am. Sometimes you just catch yourself in a lie. It happens. Are you understanding me? You're a human being. But there's a difference between catching yourself or practicing lying. And you know why? Your conscience is there to tell you that you're... And when you start a little, it will just continue. Before you know it, every little thing, you will just... Before you know it, you've lied. So, did I even say that? You know? So, truth, yeah, is the foundation for blessing. So, anything, deceit, deception, falsehood, fraud, cheat, I don't want to be there. They may give temporary returns, but they will cut you from the blessing. Hallelujah. You know, if you want to stay in blessing, instead of doing that, yeah, connect to God. Hallelujah. Be generous. Not just with your money, but with your time, with your attitude. Yeah? Those are things that release blessing. Hallelujah. 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 Satan is the father. They say, God is not a man that issued like when God speaks, it's settled. He doesn't change his mind. That's what's called immutable. Immutable means that nothing occurs to God. You know, like you say, oh, and it occurred to God that, you know. He knows. He knows the end from the beginning. Yeah? He knows the solution before the problem came. Are you with me? So when God speaks, it is what? Settled. Now, if you take the word of God for your life in any aspect and you hold on to it, you will never be ashamed. You may wait. It may not come true immediately. Yeah? But that's how God designed it. Yeah? Because holding on to God is the way you exercise your faith. Hallelujah. And obedience. Once you stay in faith and obedience, you will have the last laugh. Hallelujah. You will come to God. God has never lost a battle. Satan is not the enemy of God. Satan is the enemy of man. When Satan sinned against God, he threw him down like lightning. You read it? When God threw him, he was so fast, it was like what? Like lightning. It's not the adversary of God, it's the adversary of man. Hallelujah. I said, say to yourself, say, my God is greater than anything that could ever come my way. That's the God you serve. He is faithful and he's true. I pray that, you know, I'm running up now, that God give us a good revelation of the fact that God cannot break his word. And I told you, I said it before, and I repeat it in rounding up. You're a human being. You can be broken. Anything can break you. Life is fragile. Do you know that? You think you are strong? You've not made that thing that will deal with you. And you will not meet it in Jesus' name. You understand? You may look at someone and say, how can they be behaving like that? You know, you should be stronger than that. They met their own weakness. You've not met yours. Yeah? But, the word of God cannot be broken. So if you want to stay unbroken, what do you do? You embrace and hold tightly to the word. That guarantees that you cannot be broken. Let us pray.